In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yes, God is everywhere, but he is not everywhere to bless you. Yes, he fills all things and controls all things, but he does not give you forgiveness, life, salvation, peace, joy, heaven, grace, or mercy as you sit on the beach watching a sunset, spend time with family, or camp in the desert. He restricts himself to a specific time and to a specific place so that we might be confident of his gracious presence and might be assured of how he views us. For Israel, that specific place was the Ark of the Covenant. It is the Ark of the Covenant that made the temple itself holy. It was a simple box constructed out of acacia wood, overlaid with gold inside and out. It had four rings, one on each base, each corner of the box, and two poles were put inside so that it might be carried. In the days of Solomon, the temple was built, and all the other furnishings that we had spoken about, the bronze altar, the basin, the incense, all of the other furnishings were all rebuilt, but not the Ark of the Covenant. It remained the same, because this Ark of the Covenant was the gracious presence of God among his people, so no upgrading from God's gracious presence, no remaking it, and certainly no removing its poles from those rings. The cover itself was made of solid gold. The cherubim were on each end, one on each end. Their faces were bowed down toward the middle. Their wings were outstretched, for it was there between the two cherubim that God would speak to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. There was the presence of God for his people. That space was the throne of God. And so it was known as the mercy seat or the atonement cover. Inside the ark, there were three things. There was the law of God that God had written with his own hand on the two stone tablets. There was a golden jar filled with manna. And there was Aaron's staff, which had budded. Never before had God condescended to a singular place. It was this ark that led the people through the wilderness for 40 years. It was this ark that when the priests carrying the ark stepped into the Jordan River, the river stopped flowing, allowing his people to cross into the promised land. When the ark encircled Jericho, the walls fell down. The gracious God was with his people to fulfill the promises that he had made. But when the sons of Eli tried to force God's hand by bringing the ark into battle, God did not save them. And the ark itself was captured. God will not be manipulated. He cannot be forced. And his ark, or himself, is certainly not a good luck charm, that as long as it is with you, you are fine. But the sons of Eli and Israel itself had fallen away from God, and so the enemy had conquered. But sinners cannot dwell in the presence of that holy God. And God afflicted the Philistines with many diseases and disasters, so that they sent the ark back to Israel on a cart. Yet when that ark returned, 70 Israelites decided to look inside the ark, and all 70 of them died. Later on in the days of King David, he wanted to move the ark to Jerusalem, but instead of using the poles that God had instructed the priests to carry the ark, he decided to put it on a cart. And when the oxen stumbled, Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark, touched the ark, and he died. The presence of God brings destruction to those who do not believe. There are no exceptions to keeping God's word. He is to be obeyed at all times, for he alone is holy. He will not let himself be violated. Sinners cannot look into God's presence, and sinners, those who are unholy, cannot touch God. It brings death. Once a year, the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. And he had to come with two handfuls of ground incense to produce a thick cloud of smoke so that he would not look at that mercy seat, lest he would die. And he also had to come with blood, which he sprinkled on that atonement cover, that very throne of God between the two cherubim, and which he sprinkled on the floor in the Holy of Holies. Again, if he failed to do these things, he also would die. So whereas that bronze altar where the sacrifices were, that bronze altar was a safe place to meet God. But the Ark of the Covenant was extremely dangerous. It was dangerous for the sinner, but it was salvation for those who believed. The reality or the fulfillment of the Ark of the Covenant is our Lord Jesus Christ. So look at that holy mountain and see the holy God of Israel not between two cherubim, but between two criminals. His blood is poured to atone for the sins of rebellious man. Through his blood, he gained redemption. Through his blood, he covered the sins of man. And those who believe in his blood are justified by grace. And yet when the women go to the grave, they do not see two criminals on either side. But they see two angels sitting in the place where Christ lay, one at the head and one at the foot. And who is in the middle? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not visibly present, but he is the holy God of Israel who was crucified for man and raised on the third day. He is the God who dwelt between the two cherubim. He is the God who saves his people. And now he has accomplished something that the blood of bulls and lambs and goats could never do, the redemption of man. And so he offers his blood not in a physical building, but he presents his blood to God the Father in heaven. And so he ascends with the sweet smell of incense clinging to his risen flesh. And he enters into the Holy of Holies with his own blood. Heaven is pure and holy. And through the sacrifice and offering of Christ, heaven itself is a place that is now made for man. The curtain is torn, and God joyfully receives our flesh and blood into his presence. And thus we approach him with freedom and confidence, as we enter not into shadows but into that reality. We, the priests of God, pass through that torn curtain and enter the Holy of Holies with incense and blood. That is, we enter in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, who alone purifies us from every sin. For where two or three gather together in his name, there he is present among us. We gather together not to have a picnic, not to play sports, not to catch up on the week or the weather, but we gather to hear the word of our God and to receive his sacraments. For God has bound himself to his word and to his sacraments. Where that word is proclaimed, he has promised to be. Where the sacraments are celebrated, there he has promised to be. Not just some of the time, but every single time. And so the altar reminds us of that atonement cover. There we go to receive mercy and grace from God. For there we find the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our salvation. And he is flanked not simply by two cherubim, but he is flanked by the hosts of heaven. For wherever we celebrate the Holy Supper, there we enter into the Holy of Holies to sing and dwell with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. But make no mistake, God is not softened by Jesus. He does not become a weak, mushy, anything goes God. Neither does he allow people to act and to do and to come however they desire. This is still the presence of the Holy God of Israel. To try to force his hand, to try to manipulate God to get something from him, to try to turn this building or these sacraments into some kind of lucky charm that as long as we go through the right motions, say the right words, everything will be fine. Well, that brings only destruction. Be warned. There are no secret handshakes, secret rites, or secret behaviors. For those who enter unprepared into the presence of God will suffer destruction. Remember what happened to those 70? Remember what happened to Uzzah? Ignorance will not save you. And yet in that gospel reading, we read of a woman who reached out her hand and touched the incarnate Holy God of Israel. And instead of destruction and death, there was life. Why? Because Christ has offered something that can atone for man's sin. And so you come with boldness to do what Uzzah could not do, touch the incarnate God of Israel in the Holy Supper. Prepare yourself. Prepare by repentance and faith, lest you touch God to your own harm. This is no light matter. You are not free to come however you want or whatever way you think is appropriate. But you must come as he directed you. That is, you must come in faith. For whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. So you boldly tread where no Levitical priest dared to tread, and you touch what no high priest ever dared to touch, because the blood of Jesus has accomplished what the blood of bulls and goats could not. Atonement for your sin. But what of those poles that were not to be taken out of the rings? The golden rings is the Holy Spirit, which holds the two poles, that is, the two teachings of the Scripture, law and gospel. By their proclamation, the Holy Spirit carries this incarnate God to the four corners of the earth, so that God might be present among his people wherever two or three gather. And as the two stony tablets of the law were inside the ark, so we find that the law is fulfilled by Christ. And our sins against the law are covered over by that pure and holy righteousness of Christ that he alone could offer. As manna was in the ark, so we find our bread of life in Christ, the incarnate God. And as Aaron's budding staff was in the ark, so we find our life in our high priest, who has turned the dead wood of the tree of the cross into a beautiful tree of life. And so throughout this series, we have seen that the teachings of God have not changed from Old Testament to New Testament. The theology and the doctrine and the foundation has remained the same, whether we lived in the Old Testament or the New. In a rather visible way, God had taught his ancient people salvation by grace through faith. The temple taught them salvation by grace through faith. Israel simply lived in shadows. We live in the reality which is Christ. What Israel rehearsed year after year, day after day, week after week, we find fulfilled in that one great sacrifice of Calvary, who washes us clean with his own water, who enlightens us with the light of his holy word, who feeds us with bread from his table, whose risen presence is with us always, and welcomes us into the very presence of the holy God, where we live and sing with joy and gladness now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.